Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good evening, everyone. Just welcoming everyone to the call tonight. Just thanking God and giving Him glory for this Friday night, this first Friday of February. Glory to God. Just welcoming everyone to Cornerstone Deliverance Church under the leadership of Apostle Asia Roberts. I'm your host, Prophetess Maggie. Just thanking God for allowing us to be able to assemble tonight for our Friday night, the Beatitudes, the good life of Jesus Christ. We just thank the Lord tonight. We just thank the Lord for us being able to assemble together to lift up the name of our Jesus, of our Father, Jesus the Christ tonight, a perfect God, a passionate God. We just thank Him tonight, and I'm just so excited about what He's doing in the lives of His people. I just thank Him tonight. And at this time, we're going to open up in a word of prayer. Let us go into a word of prayer. O most heavenly gracious Father, we thank You this evening, Lord God, for allowing us to assemble tonight, Lord God, to break bread together as we enter into Your word tonight, Lord God, as we enter into this time of fellowship, Lord, this time of Bible study. Lord God, we ask that You will move flesh out of the way, Lord. We ask that You will take over tonight, Lord God, that we will hear Your voice tonight, Lord God, that You will open up our understanding. Lord God, we ask that You will reveal Your word to us tonight, Lord God, as You impart into us tonight, Lord God. Lord God, I ask that You will decrease me, Lord God, and You will move on behalf of Your spirit tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we are still in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Amen. Talking about the Beatitudes. Last week we started our first Beatitude, verse 3. And if anyone would like to do a recap of the first Beatitude that we got into last week. Is there anyone that would like to do the recap from last week? We talked about blessed are the poor in spirit. That was that first characteristic that we talked about last week. If anyone would like to just jump right in and do that recap for last week, nothing. It doesn't have to be anything long and drawn out, just to touch bases on what we learned last week. Amen. Well, I'll go ahead and do it this week. Now, we said last week, we said we were going to all start jumping in. Amen. But we learned last week about that blessed are the poor in spirit, that emptying out the value of self before Christ, just emptying out ourselves, and how we were going to lay before the Lord this week and just empty out before Him. And we were going to stop chasing happiness and just allow Christ to fill us with Him. Amen. Allowing Him to clean out the clutter, to clean out all of the clutter, in creating a space for Him. Amen. And so did anyone get into the making room for Him and get into the homework assignment in their prayer life. They want to expound on that this week. Before we move on. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to move on into tonight's lesson. Tonight's lesson was, if you did go ahead and start reading on into Matthew, the fifth chapter, verses 4, it says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." This lesson was a very, it was very powerful for me this week. I really lay before the Lord this week, and it was a lot of transformation took place in my personal time with the Lord. And At first I didn't actually know what was going on, until later on in the week when the Lord began to reveal and wrap up the actual study. So I just thank God for that. But this scripture was very, very, very powerful. It's not that many words, but it was a very, very powerful scripture. And I did email out the lesson. If you don't have the lesson and you are on the line, just let me know so I can send it out to you. But it starts off where we start with, "Blessed are those who mourn." And the Amplified Version reads, "Blessed, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace are those who mourn over their sins and repent, for they will be comforted when the burden of sin is lifted." Now, this scripture says, "Blessed are those who mourn." So now, Jesus, how can you be saying, "Blessed are those," you're going to be happy for those who are crying out, who are mourning, and they're going to be comforted? We remember last week we talked about what blessed means. Now we're going to get into a little more of what the word blessed means. The Greek definition, what we learned last week, it translated happy. But tonight we're going to add some more to that. It means to be being fully satisfied. It is life, happiness, joy that we receive as believers, Christians, that comes from our salvation in Jesus Christ. So that puts some more onto that happiness. So as Jesus is talking to the disciples, he's talking to them about this happiness. He's telling them a little bit more. So now, being fully satisfied, the scripture says, "Blessed, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace." And we know what God's grace is, that unmerited favor, that's something that we don't deserve. But God, he gives it to us. Are those who mourn over their sins. Now, last week we talked about just going and emptying out those things that we've been holding on to, that clutter, those sins, the things that we've been carrying. But now we're talking about those sins and repenting over those things. So those things that we've emptied out, those sins that we've emptied out, now we're talking about repenting. "And for they will be comforted when their burden of their sin is lifted." So mourning, the Greek word translated here as mourn, is the strongest word for mourning or lamenting in the New Testament. It expresses loud crying as though someone were wailing in agony over sin. suffering, injustice, crying out in grief are human tragedy. So the simple formula here, happiness is not based on the externals. So we know happiness is not based on what we have, what we get, but it's based on the eternal, internal work of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to make us like Jesus. So it's doing a work inside of us. So our happiness, our joy should not waver. It should not be based on situations and circumstances and outcomes. Our happiness should be dependent on our salvation that Jesus has provided each and every one of us on the line. Remember what he did on Calvary for us. Remember he shed that blood for each and every one of us on the line. Remember he took all of our sins and he took them and he didn't rise with those sins. So our happiness is not based on those situations, things that we go through, things that we encounter, things that we experience. That's not what our joy is based upon. But it's dependent upon our salvation that Jesus has provided us, that he's given us. So once we have become concerned about our spiritual life, our true condition. So now we're taking a deeper look at ourselves. Last week we poured out what was on the inside. All of that baggage and all of that clutter and all of those things that we were carrying and that we appeared to look like we were together and we really weren't together. We made room for all of that. We poured it out and we created room for Jesus. Because we asked him to come in and sweep us clean, to renew our mind. We wanted to involve Jesus in our life daily, every day this week. Because we know if we live outside of him, we are powerless. So now we see these things that we were carrying. And now we are aware of our condition. We're looking at this sin that we were carrying. We have become aware of this. We see our true condition. We have begun to search and do the inventory. Of what it was, what it is, what it could have been, or that was separating us from having or maintaining or possessing that right relationship with God. What was causing us to not get in our word? What was causing us to not be faithful in our prayer time? What was causing us not to be faithful in Bible study? What was causing us not to be faithful in fasting? What was causing us not to be faithful to our Father? To not be faithful and committed in our relationship with him? So now we've actually see these things. And now a deep inner sorrow. Because this is what happens when you become aware of something.
a deep inner sorrow takes place. This week, I begin to see with Maggie's life what caused Maggie to be unstable in her walk with the God that she said she loved. I begin to really see what caused me to fall into sin, to not be committed to the God that I love, to not be committed to the God that I said that I truly love. And so I begin to mourn on the inside, because now I see the true condition of my life. Not no one else's life. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm taking ownership of, I'm holding myself accountable. And I'm saying, Maggie, this is you. I'm seeing me for me. And that sorrow, that mourning, that crying out in grief, it produced the true repentance. Have you ever just been there? Where you just say, Lord, I'm not gonna disobey you again. Because I really understand what you did for me on the cross. I really understand the love that you have for me. Even in my shortcomings, you still love me. Even when I'm unfaithful to you, you still love me. Even when I don't even have you on my mind, you still love me. So that was on my mind all week. And it brought me to a place of repentance, true repentance. And we know that true repentance, our lives will bear fruit. When there's true repentance, we know that. Because we know repentance is sorrow. It means to turn. We know that we turn our back to the sin. We don't go back to it, but we turn and we realize that we are sorrowful for what we've done, and we won't go back. The kind of mourning that leads to repentance brings us to forgiveness. Come a repentance. So Jesus was telling them, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You're going to be forgiven. You're going to be refreshed, because now you see the state of your life. You see your state. You understand what state you're in. You understand that this is not a joke. This is not a game anymore. And you're going to truly cry out to be forgiven. And I'm going to refresh you. You're going to be refreshed by my grace. That's powerful. I realized this week that God wants to do an internal work in his people. But you have to come to a place that you really want him to do that. You have to come to a place that you just have to be, like, real with yourself. You just have to come to a place and say, there is a problem. I am not, I don't want to live like this anymore. I really want to see my father. I don't want to make excuses. I want to get this thing right. I want him to heal me and deliver me and set me free. I don't want to walk in unbelief. I don't want to walk in doubt. I want to really believe and trust the God that I say I serve. My heart is filled with so much doubt. If only people could really, really get in my heart and see. But you have to come to a place where you are concerned about your spiritual condition. That's what Jesus was telling them. And when you are aware, it should bring you to a place where you are in mourning, that you repent. And once you repent, it will bring you into a deep, that repentance will bring you into a place of repentance, will bring you into a place of forgiveness. It will bring you into a place of cleansing, into a place of a deeper, intimate relationship with your Father that will bring you back to that place that he talks about, that happiness. But you got to come to the, you have to come to the place where you say, I'm concerned about me. I can't fake this anymore. I got to lay out before God. I got to give this stuff over to him. I have to seriously allow him to cleanse me. I need to make space for him. So this week I did that. I felt like I was, some days I felt like I was in another place. Because I really wanted God to heal me. Things I had held on from childhood. things held on from just, oh, I'll get over that. And really, my feelings are hurt by it. And I had to see my true condition. Maggie, you can't walk around like this. You serve a God that is, he's more than capable of healing you and delivering and setting you free. Do you not believe that he's equipped enough to do it? So Jesus' greatest goal and his aim and passion is for us to mirror and reflect him. He wants us to look like him. The Lord took me to Isaiah 6. And it says, in the year of King Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verses 1. It says, in the year of King Uzziah, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. They each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. His glory fills the whole earth. The foundations of the doorways shook at the sound of the of their voices. And the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among people of unclean lips. And because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies, then one of the seraphim flew to me, and in his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched me with my mouth with it and said, now that this has touched your lips, your iniquity is removed, and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord asking, who will I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Isaiah admitted, he acknowledged. He was aware of his condition. He repented of his condition. and his iniquity was removed, and his sin was atoned for. We don't even have to go through all of that, because Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the mercy seat. Jesus, the one who veins were drained of the blood for our salvation. All we have to do is go before him and lay it before him. Whatever stress, whatever concerns, whatever problems, whatever issues. You know, people now don't even repent. When we used to have 5 a.m. prayer, I've literally had people say, why do we have to repent every morning? It's a place of cleansing. It's a place of bringing us into a deeper relationship with Christ. So Isaiah just did not repent for himself, but he did it. Not just thinking individually, but he did it corporately for the sins of others. Are we moved when we see the conditions of our brothers and sisters? Are we moved by that? You will be surprised by the Christians who are not moved, by the believers who only see themselves or their families, who only pray for themselves and their families. Are we moved by the suffering of this world? Are we moved Do we have the compassion like Christ? Is our goal like his? Are we walking and talking like him? Those are things that I had to repent for. See, we think about, you know, when I first got saved, I always thought about there was big sins, you know, and lying and cheating and adultery and homosexuality and those big sins. I didn't think about being a Christian that didn't have compassion. I didn't think about being a Christian that was stingy. I didn't think about being a Christian that was being mean. See, it's all wrong. Mourning means allowing your heart to be broken by the same things that break God's heart. You know, it's a scripture in Isaiah that says, when we fast, We're supposed to bless somebody else with that meal? Who are we blessing with that meal? Do we really go and check on the widows? Do we really share the good news to our neighbors? Do we even know our neighbors? Mourning moves us to action. Repentance. If we're corporately crying out and we're corporately praying and interceding and wailing and crying out for the injustice, the human tragedies, repentance shall come. Do we really believe the word of God? You always hear this statement: the church is in a bad condition. But do we know that it's not a singular word? It's not an individual thing. The Bible calls followers of Jesus the body of Christ. So the way one of us lives reflects all of us. I begin to cry out for my brothers and sisters this week.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you.
I put my needs aside. The things that I want and desire. I begin to cry out for the names of the prayer list of names, just calling people's sons and daughters. Lord, please save these people's kids. And just crying out for the people. Because I believe that God is going to honor those prayers. Once we recognize our condition, we're able to go and recognize our brothers and sisters' condition and get on our knees and not, let's talk about them, but let's intercede for them. I found myself this week really just saying, Lord, Please forgive me for doing that in my past. Because we are corporately. This thing is serious. We are the body. Isaiah could have been selfish before God, and he could have said, Lord, say, it's just me. But he took one for the team. So at this time, are there any questions or comments, statements? I encourage you this week to get in your private place and just lay before God. Allow him to heal you in places that you didn't think you needed healing. Know that those who mourn will be secured in God's comfort. Amen.
Amen.
God wants to take us deeper in Him. It pushes us into our faith deeper, and He desires to take us deeper. So if there's nothing else said tonight, let us go before the Lord. We won't meet next week. We will come back. on the 18th. And we will start back with verse 5. We'll stop with verse 5 on the 18th. Let us go before the Lord. O most heavenly gracious Father, we thank you this evening, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, Lord. Lord God, we pray right now, Lord God, that you will continue to do an eternal, internal work in each and every one of us, Lord God. Lord God, I pray that you will continue to heal and deliver and set each and every one of us free, Lord. Lord God, I pray that you will continue to, Lord God, show us our true condition, Lord. Lord God, I pray that you will continue to take us deeper in your word, Lord. Continue to take us deeper in our faith with you, Lord God. Lord God, allow us to continue to believe and trust in you like never before, Lord God. God, remove every doubt in anything that will cause us to be separated from your love, Lord God. Remove it right now in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, we thank you right now, God, for repentance, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord God, for bringing us to a place, Lord God, of cleansing and deliverance, Lord God. Bringing us, setting our foundation to a place of happiness, Lord God, rooted and grounded in you tonight, Lord. Lord God, we thank you right now even for the body of Christ, Lord God, restoring, delivering, and setting free, Lord God, your people, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you will fill us with more compassion, Lord God, for allowing us to see a lost world, Lord God. Lord God, those that are in suffering, Lord God, that we will turn our plates over, Lord God, that we will get on our face and cry out for our brothers and sisters, Lord God. Oh, God, that we will, Lord God, collectively, Lord God, confess, Lord God, sin, Lord God, for our brothers and sisters, Lord God, and we will repent on behalf of each other, Lord God, that we will turn our plates over, Lord God, believing and trusting, Lord God, that you will do a new thing in the body of Christ, Lord God. Lord God, those that have backslidden, Lord God, that have turned, that have left the body, Lord God, we are praying that they will hear your voice and they will come back to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, those that don't know you, Lord God, we are praying that you will call for them and they will hear you and they will accept you. Lord God, we are believing and we are trusting, Lord God, that you will, Lord God, that the floodgates will be open with your people receiving you right now in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, that they will know that you are their Father in the name of Jesus. God, they will know that what you did on the cross for them, and they will accept you in the name of Jesus, that you will even prepare us to go out and spread the good news of the gospel. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we believe and we trust you tonight, Lord. Lord God, that we will be believers and trusted. We will be believers of your word, Lord God, that we will not doubt you, that we will go and spread this word in the name of Jesus, God, that we will not allow any situation and circumstance hinder us from spreading the good news of the gospel, Lord God. That we will stand on this word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Agape, love and kingdom blessings, everyone.
Kingdom blessings, amen.
Love and kingdom blessings.